after the declaration of the Bab to the waiting and sincere souls, Baha'u'llah became one of the foremost adherents and teachers of the new faith. Baha'u'llah went to Nur in Mazinderan district, and there many important personalities sought him out. All the dignitaries expected Baha'u'llah to speak about the political and governmental affairs of the country. Contrary to their expectations, Baha'u'llah spoke of the new religion and the message of the Bab. After the declaration of the Bab to the waiting and sincere souls, Baha'u'llah became one of the foremost adherents and teachers of the new faith. Baha'u'llah went to Nur in Mazinderan district, and there many important personalities sought him out. All the dignitaries expected Baha'u'llah to speak about the political and governmental affairs of the country. Contrary to their expectations, Baha'u'llah spoke of the new religion and the message of the Bab. He told them that their country would truly progress if the officials would accept the teachings of this new cause. The people were greatly surprised by Baha'u'llah's extraordinary knowledge and his great attention to spiritual matters. Many of those who had meetings and discussions with Baha'u'llah became followers and teachers of the new cause. One person who disagreed with Baha'u'llah and opposed him was his uncle Mirza Aziz, but no one paid him much attention. How was it possible to cover the brilliant sun with small, insignificant Mirza Aziz, who was persistent in his opposition to the cause? Met Mullah Muhammad, the newly chosen religious leader of Nur. Mirza Aziz said, "O Mullah, deputy of the prophets, see how our religion is endangered. A young man has come to Nur and is inviting the people to a new religion, and many of the inhabitants of Nur are following him. I do not know how he influences the people. He either practices magic or mixes some potion in the tea so that whoever drinks it is deceived." Mirza Aziz and the students of Mullah Muhammad insisted that the Mullah meet Baha'u'llah. But the Mullah refused, since he had been present when his own teacher, Mullah Taqi, had a discussion with Baha'u'llah and had been overwhelmed by his great knowledge. The insistence of his students, however, finally persuaded Mullah Muhammad to send two of his most learned students to meet Baha'u'llah, Mullah Abbas and Abul Qasim. Both sons of the former religious leader of Nur were chosen to make that visit. Mullah Muhammad instructed them that they should meet Baha'u'llah and try to find the truth of the matter. He said that whatever they decided would be accepted by him. When they reached the house, Baha'u'llah was with a small group of people, explaining to them the meaning of some of the verses of the Quran. They also sat and listened. They were greatly awed by the eloquence of Baha'u'llah's words, which they felt came from his heart and had an effect on their own hearts. After a short time, Mullah Abbas began to tremble and went towards the door. He called Abul Qasim and said, "Such is my condition that I have forgotten all the questions I was going to ask. I will not leave this glorious man. You go back to Mullah Muhammad and tell him what has happened." Abul Qasim replied, "I am in the same situation. I will have nothing more to do with Mullah Muhammad and hope to spend all my life in the service of Baha'u'llah." This story spread all over the district, and the number of visitors who came to see and hear Baha'u'llah increased. Many of them believed in the Bab and became firm believers. Mazinderan district, particularly the town of Nur, was the first place where many people came to believe in the Bab. Baha'u'llah returned to Tehran after this teaching trip. The beginning of summer in northern Iran is more majestic and beautiful than any other time of the year. The roads acquire an amazing beauty with the flowers and lush meadows. The wheat stalks gleam with their ripened ears of corn. The trees with their colorful leaves, caressed by the light of the sun, their gift from God, await their beloved guests. Baha'u'llah, Quddus, and Tahereh entered Badasht with a group of believers, and it was destined that one of the most important events in the history of the faith would take place there in 1848. Baha'u'llah had rented three gardens, one for Tahereh and her companions, another for Quddus and the believers, and the third for himself. One of the main objectives of the gathering of the believers at Badasht was to clearly announce the independent character of the Babi revelation, as the followers of the Bab still believed that the Babi faith was just a continuation of the Islamic religion and did not think that this new faith was an independent religion with a heavenly book and new laws. When a strange and unusual incident occurred in Badasht, this matter became clear to all who were present. One day, Baha'u'llah became slightly ill and was confined to bed. Quddus came to visit him and sat down on his right side. The rest of the believers also came and sat around the room. At this time, one of the believers entered and, turning to Quddus, said, "Tahereh desires to see you. Kindly go to her garden." Quddus rejected the invitation. Another follower entered after a while and said to Quddus, "Tahereh must see you, and if you do not go to her, she will come to see you herself." While Quddus was about to reject the invitation to go and see Tahereh, she herself entered the gathering with her spiritual and beautiful face unveiled, shocking the believers greatly. We cannot quite imagine how bewildered and fearful the believers felt. It was so serious that they did not know what to do. They had never dreamt that Tahereh, the symbol of purity and chastity, would ever appear before a gathering of men unveiled. In short, this was the cause of a great uprising. The companions were filled with anger on one side and fear on the other, to such a degree that one of the believers, Abdul Khaliq Isfahani, due to his great excitement, drew his dagger, cut his own throat, and fled from Tahereh, shouting and screaming. Some others who also forsook their faith and left that gathering. The others just stood before her, speechless and spellbound, not knowing what to do. Tahereh was confident that she had taken the right step and walked gracefully and confidently forward till she arrived in the very midst of the assembled believers. Then, in a loud, clear voice, she declared, "I am the word which the Qayyim is to utter, the word which shall put to flight the chiefs and nobles of the earth." She then continued, "This day is the day of festivity and universal rejoicing, the day on which the fetters of the past are burst asunder. Let those who have shared in this great achievement arise and embrace each other. Now it might seem rather strange to us that the companions of the Bab should be so shocked to see Tahereh without her veil, when today all around us women are seen unveiled. However, in the past, the Muslim women had limited freedom and simply could not step out of their houses without the veil. In fact, if a stranger saw the uncovered face of a woman, it was considered a sin. Besides the veil, they also wore face covers. Sometimes even the voice of a woman had not to be heard by a strange man. Under such circumstances, the believers had a right to be filled with fear and surprise when Tahereh appeared before them unveiled. This was a great test for them. Baha'u'llah and the believers, who numbered 81, stayed in Badasht for 22 days. Therefore, Badasht, that beautiful and historical plain, witnessed the first great conference of the believers in the presence of Baha'u'llah, and also saw the first declaration of the independent character of the Babi revelation. Ultimately, after 7 months of imprisonment by the Persian authorities, Tahereh became the first woman martyr for the cause of the emancipation of women.